Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and who are we kidding? Of course you love the show. Be a pal, tell a friend, because karma, that's why. Come on. Today we're chatting with John from Basic Green Cleaning Service. Basic Green offers commercial residential cleaning as well as carpet cleaning, inventory management for schools. If you want to reach out to John, you can get a hold of him and his team at www.basicgreensf for San Francisco, basicgreensf.com. John, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation.
So glad to have you on, my brother. You may be the first San Francisco guest I've had, so welcome, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm honored.
Honored to have you, brother. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got into the business, where you're at now, and what happened between now and then?
Well, I worked construction all the way up until 2006. And as you know, everyone knows the big problems with the layoffs. The economy went bad, So I ended up, not being able to get a job, not even as a busboy. I was 56 years old and I was laid off, and I wanted to not ready to retire yet. And I needed money. So a friend of mine told me that someone started a cleaning company that we both knew, and it was pretty inexpensive to get started, and I took that opportunity to research it, and I went and read a couple of books. I really didn't have that much experience in cleaning, a little bit, but not that much. And so I got lucky and ran across a book where a guy started a cleaning company in San Francisco. And so that was my kind of like Bible that I used for problems and stuff. And that was 2007 when I finally ended up starting. And in 2011, I got sick. I had a problem where it took my life for 3 years. And I feel very fortunate because there's hundreds of people who are disabled behind medication, not the actual virus. I had the hepatitis C virus. So anyway, I cleared my body, but it almost killed me. And it messed with my memory and all that kind of stuff. So I ended up I had six people working for me. And at the end of the day, when I came back last February after 3 years, I had three different employees that were working for me. And that's what I'm working with now, moving forward. So it's kind of like a start over, and I'm feeling good about it because I love this industry. It's allowed, not only because it allows me to eat, but it allows me to meet people, and I just like it.
Well, welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company community, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right, cool. So you're out of San Francisco. You started 2007, had some health issues, fought your way back, and now you're kind of restarting with three employees that you didn't hire, but you've got now. Do you do mostly commercial or residential, or both?
We do both.
Okay.
It's about even keel. We do both commercial and residential.
Okay, so 50-50, give or take?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. All right, well, thank you for sharing your story, by the way. That was, it's so interesting how, however many I've done of these, you talk to 100 different people in the cleaning business, and you literally get 100 different stories about how they got in, and I just love hearing how people got to where they're at. So thank you so much for sharing, John.
You're very welcome, Mike.
All right, man. Well, let's dive into some coaching. You've been kind enough to share with us kind of your story. What can I help you with today?
Well, in during my journey, I happened to read the book The E-Myth, which was very, very influential to me, because of the franchise, the ideology of the book. Whether you're going to sell your business or not, or try and sell it or not, you want to systemize like you're going to sell it. You organize it, and so that if anyone you did have opportunity to sell it, somebody, it would be attractive to somebody. But not only that, that it operates more system oriented than people oriented. And it emphasizes you have to put good people in those systems, but you have to have a good system to put them in order to give you the freedom that you want to grow it further or to sell it or whatever.
John,
so that's kind of where I fall short is getting the correct systems in this business.
First of all, I couldn't agree more. That's a very succinct, especially as you grow, right? When you've got kind of a 0 to 5, even 0 to 7 or 8 employees, oftentimes you can get by just with being really smart and working really hard and hiring good people. But you start getting 10, 20, 30, certainly into the 40s and 50s and more. If you don't have a system, life is going to be miserable. So I want to encourage Clean Nation. This is a great topic. Tune in, pay attention. This is huge. Second, I want to give a little bonus kind of secret that John just brought up. I think you said we've been talking for 5 minutes and 37 seconds. And you've mentioned twice books that you've read. When you first started the company, you read a book and you said that was your Bible. And second, you read The E-Myth. I just have, after being in business for 20 years and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on my education, being an author of a book and reading hundreds of books and coaching so many people, I got to say, my best customers are readers. So if you're not a big fan of reading, you're missing out. Audible, at the very least, podcasts like this can help. But for whatever reason, I don't know the magic behind it, but the people that read tend to be the ones that are the best students and really have the most success. So congratulations on A, not just being a reader, but B, you know, it's kind of, it sounds like you're implementing, right? You talked about how the business, the first book was your Bible, and you were talking about The E-Myth, and now you're following up with me. So congratulations on really understanding how to get what you want.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, cool. So let me,
I believe in learning also.
Sorry. Say it again. I'm sorry. I talked over you. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, I believe in learning also. I believe that that is the key. You know, we never stop doing it anyway, so you might as well be in control of the direction that it's going.
Yeah, that's, man, words from the wise. If you didn't get that, if you're not constantly learning, you're dying. You know, we lose stuff every day. So you constantly got to be you're going to be putting stuff into your brain daily. Just like you said, John, make sure it's the right stuff. And I want to also piggyback on what you said about systems and if and when you want to sell it, that it's going to be attractive to a buyer. I've sold 2 businesses in the last 3 years for 7 figures each. So they're 1 million or more sales. And, I will say the 2 things, and I've said this on being interviewed before, I've said this on various platforms, the 2 biggest things that made my business attractive to clients are, 1, we had good, immaculate books, right? So there was none of this, oh, this is cash, and I'm going to put this here, and we don't put this on, and but our books were perfect. I could tell you where every penny of every dollar went, and it was all above board, nothing shady. 2, we had systems. That's really what we bought, and some of the systems that I created a decade ago, the owner of my business that gave me all that money is still benefiting from, as are his customers and employees. So systems really can be transformational for a business. And if you want to get to more than, you know, you want to get that 7-figure level, having a million or multi-million dollar business, you're just going to have systems.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
You are on the right track, my friend. Okay. So enough of that. Let's talk about, how to create systems. Because really, if you do go to sell a business, and just so you know, there's a lot of you might have got turned off. I'm not going to sell my business. I'm not interested in that at all. I want to know how to grow my business. Well, let me give you a nasty little secret. Every day you don't sell your business, you're buying it, right? You've got to show up and continue buying it with your time and your money. So someone's buying your business every day. If it's going to be you, don't you want it to be a business that's attractive to the buyer, i.e. you? So please don't turn off your minds when you hear, oh, if I want to sell it, this is about selling a business. I'm not interested in selling a business. Because if you're not selling, you're buying. And either way, you want that business to be attractive to the buyer, i.e. you, or the buyer, i.e. a guy that's going to write you a 7-figure check.
Yes, for sure. That's for sure.
All right, John. So let's jump in. So the first thing that we've got to make a distinction, and that E-Myth book is really helpful to help do this. So you might have this, but I want to lay the foundation for Cleaning Nation and reinforce it with you, is you can either be working in your business or you can be working on your business. In other podcasts, my book, and a lot of the coaching I do, we talk about the difference between doing $10 an hour tasks, $100 an hour tasks and $1,000 an hour tasks. So just so you know, 10 bucks an hour if you work 40 hours a week, give or take 20 grand a year. $100 an hour if you work 40 hours a week, give or take, is $200,000 a year. $1,000 an hour is $2 million a year. So system making, in my estimation, is really that $1,000 an hour task. People don't like doing it. It's hard, right? If it was easy, everybody's going to be systematized. It's not easy. It's difficult, but it is $1,000 an hour work. So that's the first foundation. You have to understand how important it is and why you're doing it and what it's worth. Don't be that guy or gal that says, oh, I don't have time for great systems. I got to go bid on this job and this customer's upset and blah, 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 blah. All that stuff, depending on what it is, if it's just, you know, an employee called out and I got to clean myself, that's $10 an hour. You know, and again, maybe 15, whatever, but give or take, it's 10 bucks an hour. If you're going to go out and manage or talk to a customer that's upset or something, that might be $20 or $30 an hour. So just recognize when you move from the important but not urgent, which is systems creating, to the urgent but really not important, which is putting out whatever fire you're dealing with that day, you're moving from $1,000 an hour work to $10 or $20 or $30 an hour work. So I understand is small business owners, right? That, you know, you run a company like GE, you're doing all $1,000 or $10,000 an hour work every day, all day. But as small business owners, there's going to be some $10 an hour work, and there's going to be some $100 an hour work, and there's going to be some $1,000 an hour work. You just have to identify what you're doing and make sure that you spend enough time and invest enough of your time doing $1,000 an hour work so you can offset that $10 an hour work that you're doing when you're fixing a vacuum cleaner or paying a bill or you know, cleaning a toilet or answering the phone or on and on and on. Does that, so far, are you with me, John?
I'm with you. You're 100%.
Okay, cool. So that's, No, go ahead.
And I said, that's what you have to, like you say, be able to differentiate, you know, what you're doing, the task at hand. And one of the things that the E-Myth talks about is those tasks that take you away from working on the business, that put you in the business, you know, then those are the systems that we're talking about creating, training somebody to do that particular task when that particular things happen. Like you said in the beginning, you're going to have to do it yourself and all that, but don't just do it yourself and not recognize that that's something that you have to deal with down the line. Someone else needs to take that task and do it so that you can have your eye on the $1 million price tag of your business.
Well said. And, you know, let me actually refer to another podcast. If you haven't heard it, a buddy of mine, Rich Lyons, was on, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And he's got, I don't know, 300 or 400 employees and probably doing $7-8 million in revenue. So he's got a pretty substantial business. And he actually started, if you listen to the podcast, he tells the story. He actually started, I think he was a property manager making good wages. And when he decided to get into the janitorial business, he actually worked making $7 an hour or whatever the wage is back then, cleaning toilets for another janitorial company. The reason he did that was he wants to understand the systems that they used. So he was very strategic about, yes, I'm going to clean. I think he was there for 2 or 3 months. I'm going to clean. I'm going to learn the systems. I'm going to learn how they do it. And then he started his own thing. So that's how you've got to look at it. When you're doing the work of the company, whether it's writing a check or just all the list I did, you know, cleaning or all the answering the phone, all that stuff, if you've got to do it now for your company, Rich was smart enough. He said, I'll do it for another company. I don't care. I just got to learn the systems. So obviously he wasn't worried about the $7 an hour that they were paying him. He was worried about, okay, how can I learn and create systems for my business? So just make sure you take on that same attitude, even when you're doing it in your business. Don't ever clean a toilet without writing down, this is how we clean toilets. Or clean the toilet exactly. Because an employee didn't show up without thinking through while you're cleaning that toilet, what system broke down that we were not able to attract and keep and train sufficient employees to do the work. So just like you said, John, make sure that you kind of look at everything as really your job as an owner is to cast the vision and then give everyone that's going to come around you the tools to put that vision together. And systems are an amazing way to do that, right? Instead of having to constantly tell people, no, not like this, like this, create a training manual, create a book, write it down, codify it. So you've got something you can hand over to somebody for training. So now that we've got enough on why to systematize, let's talk about how to systematize. First, like we said, you can't do two things, right? You're either working in your business or on it. So don't fool yourself into thinking, you know, if I'm working in my business and putting out fires, I'm creating systems. You're not. You got to really set aside times for that. The second thing is it can be overwhelming at first. So don't think that you're going to start today and a month from now, your business is going to be systematized. Honestly, don't think it's going to be systematized in a year. You can get a lot of your main systems done in a year and kind of be in a maintenance mode, but it takes a while. So just set expectations. A lot of times people get burned out because they try and do everything right off the bat. And they're going to systematize their whole thing in 3 weeks. And they get overwhelmed because they try and do too many things at once. So what you're going to do is break down your business. Every business, cleaning and otherwise, has three areas of operation. First is you got to get customers, right? Which would be everything sales and marketing and bidding and everything within that universe of I got to get customers. Second is I got to provide the service, right? Whether it's a product or service, you know, if it's part of your service is providing their toilet paper, then you got to buy it and then fill it, and then the service. So you've got to provide that. That's the second kind of area. And then the third part is you got to keep track of the money. You got to account for it. So you're not going to systematize all three of those things at once. It's a great area to fail. Pick the place that is the lowest hanging fruit, meaning, oh, I can systematize this easy. This is just super, and it's a mess, right? So something that's working pretty well is going to be hard to systematize. You put that at the end of the list. You're looking for the stuff that this won't take that much work to create a system around, and it's creating a lot of pain in my life or my employee's life or my customer's life right now. Start with those. So first of all, identify the three areas. You're either selling it, getting a customer, you're either providing the service or you're accounting for it. And then pick one area that you're going to focus on for the next couple months. The second thing you're going to do is you want to create a system to make systems. So your first system is always, and this is what I do in my one-on-one training, is your first system is always to create a system for making systems. So once you create that, now you can create all the systems. John, do you have any questions?
No. I'm just enjoying this ride, you know, because you're answering the questions in my mind. You're reading my mind right now.
That costs extra, man. That's not part of this deal. Okay, so the first thing you're going to do is make a system to make systems, and I'm going to give you a brief overview. Obviously, this is something that we could do a two-week seminar on, but just in the time that we have, the first thing that you're going to do is identify the problem very clearly in writing. A lot of people don't spend enough time on what is it we're doing now, because you already have a system, right? Your business is already running on systems. The problem is they're not written down, and when you do something, it's on your system that your mind creates at that time, depending on your mood and your attitude and how you feel that day, when an employee does it, whatever system he's running. So everyone's got all these different systems that don't naturally or necessarily mesh up and probably aren't in the right order. So you're already running on systems. All you're doing is choosing the systems that you're going to run on. So the first thing you got to do is be very clear about what you're doing now. Don't try to go right to step two of here's how we're going to do it. You got to be very clear about write down the system that's in place. Not get it in your head, write it down. Everything's got to be written down. If it's a system in your head, it doesn't count. So that's the first thing. Second thing you got to do is get the employees on board. If you've got employees, this is the tough part. Creating a system, easiest thing in the world. All right, that's not true. Not hard. Implementing a system, that's a bear, right? Because people are naturally, I want to do it the old way. I'm comfortable with the old way. This is new and scary, and I don't want it to work because you're going to make me have to get out of my comfort zone. So I'm going to show you how your system sucks and kind of try and blow it up. And there's all this psychology behind it. The way to overcome that and put yourself in a position to win is to get them on board and have them help you create the system, right? If you take your management team and go off to, your cabin in the woods for a weekend and come back with all these systems from on high, they're going to ram them right down your throat, right? They're not interested. They didn't buy in. What you want to do is get buy-in from the employees right off the bat. So write down what you're doing. Have the employees write down what they're doing. And again, if there's no employees, you just do this on yourself, but I'm trying to give you for those that have employees. So have the employees write down what they're doing. And honestly, a lot of times they'll have better ideas than you are. They'll tell you what's frustrating about cleaning or travel or sales or whatever they're doing. They'll tell you what's not working, and then have them be a part of the solution. And then you implement version 1.0. And the secret sauce of this is you got to be cool with version 1.0 being terrible, right? Everyone always gets frustrated. Oh, I did a system. It didn't work. So I quit. Don't do that. Your first system's always going to suck. You got to be okay with that. But you can change it. Right now, you know the systems you have don't work and they suck, but you don't have them written down, so you can't change them. You just continue sucking. If you have a terrible system and it's written down, now you can change. Instead of just feeling this uneasy sense of this isn't working, you can go to what step in the system is broken. You pull that one step out. You can fix that part and then put it back in, as opposed to this whole system that you're trying to keep going in your mind. So the system for building systems, write down what you're doing, get your employees on board, get them and you to collaborate on a new system, implement it, realize it's going to be terrible, fix it, and repeat. So that's the system for doing systems. I think that's really, I think that's, you know, we're already at 19 minutes, so I don't want to go too long. Any questions, comments, or rude remarks, John, before we move on to lightning round?
Well, you know, I agree 100%, you know, that, you know, to write down the system. And also what's very, very important is to include the employees on, you know, in creating that system, because like you said, they have a lot of information that I might not even have.
For sure.
And it's a very, very important. And during training, one of the greatest things that an employee can do is train somebody. Or take training on some ideas that he was a part of.
For sure.
And that helps them to be on board a little bit better. So I agree 100% on everything that you said, you know, and use the employees' ideas, because a lot of times you're right. They are better than yours, you know, but you'll find out. And if they aren't, then you can change it, you know. But, you know, it's good to have your employees, your staff on board.
You know what? You said, right before we go to lightning round, you said one thing really quickly that was really good, that's kind of version 2.0, and I don't want Cleaning Nation to miss it. The best way to for an employee to learn something is train somebody else. So that works whether you're creating systems or not. The first thing I like to do within a month is, first thing is obviously the employee's got to learn how to do it, and then he's got to pass a test where he demonstrates that he can do it. As soon as possible, I want him training another employee. That's the best way to go from competent, like I'm pretty good at this, I can do it, to unconscious competent, meaning I can do this in my sleep. So thanks for bringing that up, John. The best way for an employee to really lock something down in their brain and their ability is to train somebody else. And that works with systems too, right? Once you create your first system, have your employees create the rest of the systems. Now they're super on board. So well said. All right, let's hit the lightning round so we don't go for 2 hours here. I'm going to ask you three quick questions. You're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, John?
Was to the best piece of advice that I ever received was to train. Well, when I first started, I used to show an employee what to do, and then that was it. You know, he was supposed to remember that, and, you know, 6 months, a year later, you know, he's still supposed to remember that. He had his training. But have scheduled regular trainings, because like you said, employees don't want to do anything different. They already know how to do it. They want to do it their way. But when you have a training like every quarter or even monthly, then that employee knows what that the training's coming, and training is what it says. They'll start doing it, you know, because then it'll be easier to do than not to do.
And the cool thing is what you just described is a system. It's a good system. So thanks for sharing that, man. That is great advice. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business so you can save us some steps out here in Cleaning Nation?
Oh, wow. My worst mistake. And when I say mistake, you know, at the time it was a big mistake, and in retrospect, it was a great learning experience, but I wouldn't do it again on purpose, but it's bite off more than I can chew.
Okay.
I had a contract with a hospital, and I just cleaned, this one little area windows, the once a month.
Okay.
And so they asked me, you know, they got an emergency inspection coming, and they asked me, you know, could I take care of the building and do the whole building?
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, yeah, this is an opportunity to get to the next level. So now, you know, I do carpets, you know, I'm like, you know, his name was Rich. When I first started, I went and got a job with a carpet cleaner so I could learn how to do carpets while I was owning my business. And so that wasn't a problem. And cleaning the building wasn't a problem, but windows. I only did windows inside, and that just wasn't part of my expertise. And so I ended up having to rent a boom, which I had never operated before, and had to clean windows on the outside with employees who they had done windows before, but no one had operated a boom and all that. So it didn't turn out to be a disaster. But I wouldn't have done that or advise anybody to do that. Know where you're at. Know how much to stretch. You know, don't go into another, all of a sudden now I'm doing windows and I haven't been doing them. You know, you need to do like, I should have did like I did with the carpets and started working with a window cleaner first.
Sure.
But anyway, biting off more than you can chew. That's my worst mistake.
Great words of wisdom, my friend. All right, last question. What's the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today to most drastically improve their lives or their business?
Can you repeat that question one more time?
Sure. What's the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today before they go to bed that will most drastically improve their lives or their business?
I think that the term lead by example, you know, like my technicians, they're cleaners, but I call them technicians because they are. We train, so they learn the technical part of this company. And I think that relying on them and letting them know that they are leaders, you know, all the time in this industry, and that someone is always watching, you know, and integrity is one of the most important things and that you can have. And like I tell them, integrity is what you do when no one is looking, when you don't have to do it. You know, if you cut a corner, took a shortcut, you know, that's a question of your integrity, you know, do the job well at all times. And I think, you know, leading your employees each day, knowing that they're leaders and knowing that they are being watched, I think that that helps your company, you know, gives your company a better look, you know, from the customer point of view and from other employees watching the employees, you know, be leaders and, you know, be and have high integrity.
Well said, John. All right, man. I really appreciate you for joining us. Thank you so much for sharing your passion and desire to grow. I definitely appreciate you, and I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out John's show notes page and kind of have the notes and links and everything we talked about here and discover everything you need really to grow your cleaning company, you can check that out at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Make sure you interact, engage with the community, leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks, and I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.